Sir Francis Mell, Reel 3.
Why didn't any of the prison officials or officers or anybody notice your condition before you actually collapsed?
Well, yeah, because we were 30-odd of us. And I went until the day before, until the very day, I think, of my collapse, I managed to do the half-hour marching in the morning and half-hour marching in the afternoon. As long as I did that, I was not to be noticed. But it was coming back in the end from one of those marches that I collapsed.
At what point had you decided to do the hunger strike?
Oh, I think very early on. And I had a good friend, a socialist and a doctor, who advised me that hunger striking by itself would never succeed, but that thirst striking certainly would bring one very quickly to the point of death.
Had he given you the idea initially of the hunger strike?
Oh no, that came from the suffragettes, undoubtedly.
But they were in prison when they did it, so they were force-fed.
Yes, but then there came the point when the force-feeding was not going to succeed, and then they were always released, and then they were taken back into prison again. So the force-feeding didn't... It was of real intent to begin with, but when they found that they couldn't take people on, couldn't, as it were, strangle them with force-feeding, then they let them out. And then they very much modified the force-feeding. Forcible feeding, it was called in those days. It's force-feeding called now.
How did you know when military authorities would be coming for you so that you could plan to begin your strike 2 days in advance?
I had my call up. And so I then... instead of waiting to be arrested, I knew that would take some days, so I started my hunger and thirst strike, and then went and gave myself up at the appropriate office.
Did you know how long you would be kept in the garden?
No.
Well, that would be a crucial factor, wouldn't it?
Yes, that was pure guesswork.
What was your alternative plan if you were taken to prison?
My alternative plan was certainly to hunger strike there, but that would have been perceived, so that would have meant forcible feeding, I didn't know what. But I was told that the one thing one could take to prison was a Bible, and I had a glorious six Bible in three volumes, three quarto volumes, printed in 1660 or so, and I had marvelous great new vellum bindings made to these, with hollow places in the binding at each end of the three volumes, so there were six secret places where I could put pencils and paper and such like, so that I could go on thinking and writing on paper while I was in prison.
Did you actually take the Bible with you into the guardroom?
I took the Bible into the guardroom, yes, in case I was pushed into prison quickly.
And would they have let you take the Bible into prison?
I don't for a moment think they would have allowed me to take anything as big as that. But that was guesswork.
Had the NCF given you any sort of help or information on how to prepare for your ordeal?
I attended other people's tribunals, including Clifford Allen's, and heard what was said and what was done, talked with them afterwards. So I gathered a great deal of knowledge. Fairly.
Do they have any tips on things like smuggling in pencils? The Bible was your own idea.
No, that was my own idea.
Did your parents' attitude change when you were actually undertaking the hunger strike?
No, I don't think so. They knew of it only as a hunger strike, and they had the suffragette history behind them and felt this would be in and out and very horrible, but nevertheless not a final or fatal thing.
Since they didn't know there was a thirst strike, they didn't realize that you might die.
No, no.
Did they visit you?
No. My mother intended to and was full of apologies, but my father didn't let her. My father didn't let her because she was not well and he thought it would be too much for her. But he never thought of coming, no.
Were you allowed visitors?
Yes, indeed. In the guard room there was no limit to visiting hours. There was great generosity on it. My wife came to see me every day. Short time, mark you, but nevertheless.
What was her attitude towards you?
Oh, wholly, wholly sympathetic.
Was she taking part in any anti-war activities herself?
No. I don't think she had any means of doing so. She signed various documents. Put out, I think arranged by me, but put out in her name for when I was in prison and out of touch with everything. But she was wholly, wholly with me in spite of the danger that it involved, of which she knew nothing.
Does she realize that you might die?
She realized I might die.
Did you really realize that?
Or oh, yes.
Or do you think somehow, of course, I won't die?
I think that I really had something like fantasies. Obviously one didn't have quite orderly frame of mind, and I had fantasies of flying to heaven and also walking home equally.
Even if you didn't die, you might have suffered permanent damage or brain damage.
There was a danger of that, but I didn't know much about that. No. Anyway, I had too much confidence in my own brain, I'm afraid.
Did the fact that it was something really dangerous that you were doing almost make you more eager to do that, or...?
In a way, it did, certainly in some moods. One's mood changed very much by day and by night and by pain and by alleviation and so on. You see, I gave myself that alleviation in the first few days of taking water into my mouth and spitting it out, thinking that that would be quite innocent and wouldn't affect it. But then my doctor visitor told me not at all. I would be, what's it called, inhering it or something.
Absorbing it?
Absorbing it, yes, exactly. So I had to give that up.
Was there any time when you felt perhaps you should give it up and let them take you off to prison, which would be less difficult?
No, I don't think I ever felt that. I think that absolute set habit of mind became firmer the more infirm I became.
Why, in fact, did you choose not to go to prison? Had you heard about prisons beforehand?
Yes, indeed. We had many suffragette friends, and I'd heard about them in prison. I thought this would be a quick thing, which is what I wanted more than anything. It would be quick release or quick death.
I wonder if the fact that you did know about prison made a difference. Several of the conscientious objectors that I've talked to practically never heard of prison before they went.
No.
So they had no thoughts on it at all.
Yes.
Back to the strike itself. Were you required to wear a military uniform in the guard room?
No.
Your own clothes?
Yes.
When you were first arrested, there were a number of men at the police station charged with all sorts of crimes, like bigamy and so on.
Mm-hmm.
And they told you they were only trying to get out of the army. Did that surprise you?
No. It didn't surprise me in the least. I thought there would be any number of men who would like to get out without knowing how to.
Yes, but considering the attitude at the time, that was unusual, or do you think that was common?
The effort to get away from the army?
Yes.
How can one possibly assess that? There were obviously lots of simple people who were against going into the army without any thought-out objection to it.
When we read about the First World War in history books many years later, it sounds like everybody thought it would be a lovely thing.
Oh, yes. No, I don't think that was so. History didn't represent the very large minority of socialists, for example, who were anti the war, but not all of whom decided to oppose it.
In the Second War, I mean, the reaction against fighting for king and country, just like that, happened in the late, in the 30s rather than in the First War.
Yes, there wasn't, there was not a seeking for a cause or a justification for war. King and country was enough justification for war in those days.
Yeah. Mm. Well, one has to remember that. It's a different attitude rather from the present.
And, of course, that the, I don't know whether it was then Lansbury's Weekly or the Weekly Herald, had a very large circulation. Strongly opposed the war, every issue.
Did you get out? I heard you talked about your article, The War's a Crime. Did you talk about that or not?
No.
The beginning of the war, because that very early stage. Now that's not it.
Oh no, this was how they starved the Brits.
Mind you, it talked about in the book.